All right, I call your attention tonight to the 27th chapter of Matthew's Gospel according to St. Matthew. And I want to begin reading in verse 29 and read down several of these verses tonight, probably familiar to us, but we should never forget what the Lord did for us. Let's begin in verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, then bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they give him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.'" Now, Father, we thank you this evening that we have the opportunity that we can come and worship you, that we can gather together tonight and acknowledge what you did for us upon the cross of Calvary. But tonight we can show you tonight that our great thanksgiving tonight for the love that you showed to us and the Savior you sent for us this evening. We ask you tonight, dear Lord, to bless now in this service. Guide us and direct us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. We read tonight, of course, the account of Matthew's account of the crucifixion of the Lord. As we approach this Easter season, I usually try to read all four accounts in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of the crucifixion, and as many other passages as we get ready to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, which we probably should celebrate every Sunday, but as we do every year at Easter, we celebrate that. And I'll read these scriptures this evening. I came upon a verse that I've used many times before, but I believe tonight that it conveys a great thought along the Easter today. It conveys a great thought that goes on amongst people in our age this evening. And that thought is in verse number 36. Here the Bible says, "And sitting down, they watched him there." You know, Jesus had a lot take place in the past few hours. He had, of course, had a discourse with his apostles and his disciples. He had instituted what we know today as the Lord's Supper. He had prayed and it turned into great drops of blood as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Been betrayed, of course, by one of his inner circle, Judas Iscariot. He'd been seized by a mob with swords and clubs, and his disciples had scattered and fled because of fear. He'd had a succession of mock trials, and Peter had denied him. And now we find that this evening that Jesus is taken to the cross. He's taken to Calvary. And you know, sometimes I think we forget a little bit about Calvary. We sing about the cross. We think about the cross, and many people wear the cross as an ornament in different things on their bracelets and chains around their neck and other things. I see many of them in yards and upon their homes and on their automobiles. But do we really think about what the cross really meant tonight? We find here that Jesus, as we read in our scripture this evening about the soldiers and the great inhumanity that they treated Jesus with. Can you imagine the humiliation that Jesus Christ, the creator of heaven and earth, tonight the very Son of God, the one that had come out of heaven to redeem all of humanity tonight, suffered at the hands and the bands of this Roman soldiers this evening. The Bible said that they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. They humiliated him here in this common hall and mocked and made fun of him. And then the Bible says they led him away to a place called Golgotha. That is the place of the skull this evening. And Jesus upon the cross, of course, we know tonight, fulfilled what God had ordained for him so many thousands of years before. R.G. Lee, the great pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church for many years, and one time was on his first trip to Israel, and they took him to Calvary. And as they stood there upon the place where Jesus was crucified, one of the guides asked, "Has anybody been here before?" And Dr. Lee raised his hand, and the guide said, "When were you here before, sir?" And he said, 2,000 years ago. And the guide said, 2,000 years ago, he said, "When Jesus died, I died with him." Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Yes, we had to be there in a certain sense tonight. But the Bible says that after all that had taken place, all the humiliation and shame, and they had nailed him to a cross, that they did something very significant this evening, that they sat down and they watched him there. They were sitting there watching Jesus die as a sideshow. You know, there was a great crowd around the cross that day. You find, of course, there were the Roman soldiers who had tonight mocked him and laughed at him and humiliated him. They were gathered there around the throne, around the cross, I'm sorry, this evening. There were those that mocked him this evening, and mockers walked and looked about them around the cross. In verse number 39, the Bible says, "And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou hast destroyed the temple, and buildest it in 3 days. Save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, and come down from the cross." They mocked the Lord Jesus Christ. They reviled him, the Bible says. They were wagging their heads and making fun and mockery of the very Son of God, of our Savior this evening. You know, I would imagine tonight that it should make our blood boil to think of the words that they used to describe the Son of God here. And they reviled him and mocked him this evening. But you know, many people are doing the same thing today. They're sitting around the cross this evening and they're mocking the Lord Jesus Christ. They're tonight saying, "If you're the Son of God, do this. If you're the Son of God, do that." And they mock and make fun of the very Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world. We look around our world tonight and we look around our society this evening. We look around the communities and cities and counties in which we live tonight. And many people are making mockery of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're reviling him tonight, and they're not acknowledging him as the Son of God that came to take away the sin of the world. They mock tonight the cross this evening. There was the religious crowd. Likewise, also the chief priest mocking him with the scribes and elders said, "He saved himself. Himself he cannot save." We have a lot of religious crowd today, what they call religion this evening. I'm like Adrian Rogers. I sometimes just want to call it religiosity. Not Christianity, but religiosity tonight. And many of the religious crowd tonight are mocking the very Son of God. They tonight do not believe in his word. You look at the things that's going on in the name of religion tonight. You look at the things tonight that are going that are contrary and diametrically opposed to what God teaches us in his word. And we find religious leaders tonight are doing the same thing these Pharisees and scribes did in their day. They're tonight reviling and mocking the Son of God. When we have religious leaders okay this and okay that, that's not in the Word of God. When we see homosexuals being ordained as priests tonight, as pastors tonight, when we look and see that everything that's going on in our world tonight in the name of religion tonight is opposed to what God said in His Word. They're doing the same thing these did in that day. The Bible says that the women that were had ministered to him and the women that had taken care of him, they followed him afar off. Now, I'm not blaming them tonight. To be fair with you, I might have been a little further off than they were. I'm not going to say this evening. But they were there and they were seeing what was taking place tonight. We learn later, of course, they came to dress his body after the resurrection this evening. They were still faithful and loyal. We find that most of the disciples had abandoned him. John, of course, was hidden there in the crowd, and Jesus, seeing upon him, told him to behold his mother, talking about the mother of Christ tonight, that he was to take care of her. A lot of people were gathered around the cross, and the Bible says, sitting down, they watched him there. But you know, tonight, I think there were some things maybe that this crowd, and sometimes even today, that the crowd that gathers around the cross really fails to see. The first thing tonight that I think we fail to see many times tonight, and we have to really begin to think about what it says tonight, but, you know, we see God's love put on display. God displays His love for humanity at the cross of Calvary. You know, we sometimes they have different kind of art shows and craft shows, and people put out their best and they go and they're judged to put out their work on display. When you see God here displayed His love for all of humanity. If you want to see God's love, look to Calvary tonight. If you want to know, does God love you, look to Calvary this evening. You see, most of the time we think God owes us. God owes us nothing tonight. Well, God, if you love me, you'll do this for me. God, if you love me, you'll do this for me. Let me tell you, God loves you. And if you want to see the proof of God's love, very simply, look to Calvary this evening. D.L. Moody, great preacher of yesteryear, of course, pastored the Moody Memorial Church in Chicago, Illinois for many, many years, which he founded. And at one time, he had to be away for a month in an evangelistic crusade, and he brought in a man by the name of Harry Morehouse. And Harry Morehouse came in to fill the pulpit for those 4 Sundays that he was to be gone. And D.L. Moody was preached upon the judgment of God, the righteousness of God, and he never talked much about the love of God. And when he returned home from his trip and he was talking to his wife, and he said, what did Mr. Morehouse preach upon? She said, the love of God. Then he told people that God loved them. And he preached on the love of God. D.L. kind of got red in the face, and he said, I'll straighten this out in the morning. And she said, wait a minute, D.L., he proved it from the Bible. And D.L. Moody began to study the Scripture over and over again. And he came to the conclusion that God loves us tonight. And that if you want to see God's love tonight, you simply look to Calvary. That's where you see God's love up on display.
Amen. That's
right. And so when you think tonight that no one cares, think of Calvary. We read here in Matthew's account the humiliation that Jesus went through. We can read in the other accounts the other things that took place and the physical abuse and humiliation tonight that he went through. And he did all of that for you and I. And God says, this is how much I love you tonight. God's love was put upon display that all the world might see. You see, tonight we can look up into heavens tonight. We can look around at God's creation and see all of God's power. But if you want to see God's love, you look to Calvary. That's where he displayed it. God's grace was demonstrated here. You see, God demonstrated his grace to you and I. What did we do? And what could we ever do to deserve what Jesus did for us? We could never give enough. We could never work enough. We could never quit enough to earn salvation. You just can't do it. There's no way. None of us is worth the life of Jesus Christ. But God in his grace said, hey, I'm going to show you how much I love you. I'm going to demonstrate what grace is really all about. Jesus was sinless. Jesus was the Lamb of God. The perfect Lamb of God. And he died for me and for you. And that was God demonstrating his grace to humanity. That's why Paul said that if salvation could have come in any other way, then Christ died in vain. If there was any other way tonight that you could have been saved, the cross is a tragedy. But there's no other way a man can be saved except through the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And God demonstrated that grace for you and I at Calvary. He here took and showed that his word was fulfilled and would be fulfilled. Because all through the Old Testament scriptures, he had promised a Messiah. He had promised a Savior. He had promised a Redeemer. You read the 22nd Psalm and you see the Savior Psalm tonight. You see and pictured the Christ dying for us. You read Isaiah chapter 53, and you read many other of the Old Testament scriptures that I'm not going to take all the time to give them every one to you tonight, but the Old Testament was full of God saying, hey, I'm going to send a Savior tonight. I'm going to send a Messiah, a Redeemer, and my Redeemer is going to be virgin-born. He's going to come and be led as a lamb before the slaughter. And so tonight when I read and I see of Calvary, it shows me that God's word is reliable tonight. It says, hey, what God has promised, that he'll bring to pass. Hallelujah tonight for that. Right. Hallelujah tonight when I look at Calvary and I know God's word is being fulfilled and is reliable and trustworthy tonight. And when I read in the scripture tonight what God says he's going to do in the future, I can believe it because I can look back at Calvary and see what he did there.
Amen.
At Calvary tonight. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span. Oh, man. What the Lord did at Calvary tonight. Amen. Oh, the grace that grew salvation's plan. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. He shows me tonight here that sin has been defeated. I'm glad sin's defeated tonight and Satan's defeated. Jesus said, it's finished. Hallelujah, it's finished. I'm glad tonight that it's finished. We tonight do not serve God headed toward victory. We've already won the victory. That victory was won at Calvary tonight. There Jesus became the overcomer of the overcomers tonight. There Jesus overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. There Jesus tonight said, I have the keys to death, hell, and the grave. I've defeated Satan tonight. I've defeated death. What a wonderful thing that is tonight. Sitting down, they're watching him die. They're seeing him in all of his humiliation and shame. But I wonder tonight, do they really see God's love and God's grace and God's word and the defeat of sin and Satan tonight? Do they really see the price that sin cost God tonight? And salvation tonight to you and I is free, but it cost God his only son. Sitting down, they watched him there. Sometimes I think I'm guilty of simply sitting down and watching him there. Tonight we ought to be a testimony for the Lord. We ought to be able to go and tell the world, hey, what Jesus did for us at Calvary. We ought to be tonight shouting from the housetops, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. Hallelujah, Christ lives tonight.
Amen.
Instead of sitting down and watching him there, let's give the world the story of the Lord tonight and what he did at Calvary, what he suffered tonight, but tell them about God's love and his grace and his offer of salvation to all of humanity tonight, whosoever will may come. Many today are sitting down watching him there. But the Lord to us tonight says, hey, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go forth tonight and tell them that Jesus Christ is Lord. Tonight, Jesus was the suffering Savior of Calvary. He died there as the Son of God for the sins of the world. He came out of the grave on the other side, and now he's seated to the right hand of the throne of God. Tonight, he is not only the suffering Savior of Calvary and the risen Redeemer from the grave tonight, but I want to tell you tonight, he's the living Lord of glory tonight that's coming back one great day to take his people to be with him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank God tonight for Calvary. The old song says, thanks to Calvary. Thanks to Calvary. Thanks to Calvary. Let's not just sit down and watch him there. Let's tell the world the story of the Christ of glory this evening. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Bruce, you and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for this opportunity we've had. We ask to take this very simple message, use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.